following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Okay. Well, just for the record, we got the sun in Phoenix, too.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sunny in Phoenix podcast, a weekly podcast where we keep you up to date on everything Phoenix Suns related. I am your co-host for today, the one, the only, David McGraw, and alongside me, as always, is the ever-so-dabbing Mitch Krumpetich.
What's up? Today, we are going to be recapping the four games the Suns had in this past week, previewing the next games, and we have some good things to talk about, including a win, so that's exciting. And then our non-sports segment will be Thanksgiving-related. Get ready, it could be controversial.
Follow us on Twitter at SunnyandPHXPod. Same thing for Instagram. Go on iTunes, leave us a five-star review and a comment, and you will get a shout-out on the show.
And let's just get into it. Our first game was against the Philadelphia 76ers. That was back last Monday. So it feels like a lifetime ago, but that game was a 119-114 loss. This was a kind of a tale of two halves. The first half, we were hitting shots. We were looking good. We scored 36 points in the first quarter and held them to just 26. That's always exciting. Devin Booker got back to his scoring ways. He had 37 points in this game, along with 8 assists and 3 rebounds. He's been racking up the assists as well, but it was nice to see Booker get back to his scoring. Also important to note that TJ Warren had 21-4-4 in this. Really nice to see, especially 4 assists. And then DeAndre Ayton, with the big matchup against Joel Embiid, had 17 points and 9 rebounds. He also had 5 fouls, though, so the foul trouble limited him to only 26 minutes. So that's kind of tough. But what did you see from the Suns in this that you enjoyed, David?
I enjoyed a lot starting out. I think Mikal Bridges looked really good to start out. Hit a couple shots and then got sidelined mainly because of foul trouble. Was able to kind of come alive a little bit at the end of the game, which was nice. If he could have been out on the floor, it's quite possible that we could have pulled this game out. If he wouldn't have been in foul trouble. Same with Ayton. Embiid's great. And there has been talk about wanting Ayton to take up a little bit more fouls. But it's difficult. Embiid draws fouls a lot. And there's not a whole lot you can do. Especially when you can't really breathe on him for some reason. But, you know, it is what it is. There was a lot of good. Booker being the obvious one. But, you know, this lineup that we're having, even though Trevor Ariza isn't my favorite person on the Suns right now, it's definitely not my least favorite still, but that's just because of who else is on this roster. But Mikal Bridges, Booker, Ayton, and Warren in the same lineup, I'm really enjoying, and we need to see so much more of that.
Yes, it definitely looks like Mikal Bridges has solidified his place in the starting lineup for the time being. So that's good to see. To touch on Joel Embiid, he had 33 points and 17 rebounds. He shot 12 free throws. So it is tough. He draws a lot of fouls. The refs were calling this game pretty tightly, but even when they're not, Joel Embiid draws a lot of those fouls. And I'm okay with Ayton picking up 5 fouls because he was trying. He was doing everything he could to shut Embiid down. And it's just tough. Embiid's really good. And even Ayton said after the game that he just wants to emulate everything Embiid is doing. And that's fine with me. If he wants to do that, go right ahead. And an interesting note from one of the broadcasts. I want to say it was from the Pistons game on Sunday. But they were talking about how Ayton has been keeping this notebook of things that when he sees other guys that he has to guard or whatever, what he sees them do and what he wants to add to his game, he's been taking notes on that. And he's got a pretty big section on Embiid, obviously. So that's fine. Go ahead, do that. I'm good with that. And I have noticed, actually, that ever since that game, Ayton has looked a little bit more aggressive, has been more willing to shoot the ball, get to the basket, those kind of things. So I'm good with it.
Well, his aggressiveness is, it's jumping up a bit, but I think that's just also something we can expect as he just continues to get more and more used to the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, the first week, it was very, very apparent that he was having some, you know, issues with the pace and the not necessarily the physicality, but just getting winded and, you know, just overthinking stuff too much. I think that, especially it later on in the Pistons game, he was not second guessing some of the stuff that we talked about and mentioned. It seemed like he was just playing his game and mm-hmm. willing to be aggressive, willing to kind of go at it. And, you know, that's all we can ask for. He's settling in. You're going to go up against some guys like Embiid and you're going to, you know, you'll get there. It'll be a lot more even matchups in the future is what I should say.
Yeah, yeah. But we've had a lot of good things to say. We got to move to the bad for a little bit. And that's Isaiah Kanan. 20 minutes, 1 point, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 5 fouls. Got to the line once. Or went 1 from 2 from the line. 0 for 3 from the field. And then Jamal Crawford. In his 16 minutes, he had 1 point, 1 assist, 2 rebounds, 0 for 6 from the field. Why do these guys play so much? And why do these guys play so much together? Now, Jamal Crawford has been a lot better lately, but in this game, it was not good.
Yeah, Jamal has been all right for us. I think this is really one of the big stinkers of a games he's had, which, you know, if that's going to happen, it's going to happen. He has done a lot. He has done some good shot creating and stuff for us off the bench. He's not as much of a negative as it seemed like he was last year for the Timberwolves. And, you know, I think he's doing a lot for us. This game was tough, but, you know, it is what it is. The Isaiah Kanan thing, this is just, it's continuous from him. Crawford has looked better. Kanan has looked the exact same to me.
Right.
And it doesn't seem like, minus one game, well, a couple games here or there where his three-point shot just falls like crazy, it seems he has way more where he doesn't make a field goal. And in a game like this, it's a 5-point game. And yes, there was a little bit at the end where, you know, the Sixers were trying to just drain out the clock a little bit more, and we were able to cut into it a little bit from there. But, you know, where the Sixers got on that little bit of a run, if we could have had a guard that was going to hit a shot to stop some of the bleeding, maybe we're able to hold into this more. You don't know, but there was a lot of bleeding in, you know, the third quarter especially, that we just couldn't stop, and Kanan and Crawford were not helping us.
And I just don't understand why we've quit playing Okobo or Melton. I would so much rather have one of those guys playing than Isaiah Kanan. Like, it can't get worse. Put one of those guys in.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree, but this is what we're going to get, and what I don't think we should be surprised at all that with the move to Point Book, we are going to get a lot of Kanan as the backup, and until other guys show up, or, you know, not, I was going to say Book catches on, but I meant Kokoschkov catches on or is able to start messing with things and gets a bigger sample size, we're not going to see Okobo and Melton minutes, because it's going to be Booker, it's going to be Kanan, and it's going to be Crawford. And those are the guys that are going to be soaking up ball handling duties. So until we get a bigger, you know, sample size of that, we're not going to see really a big change. I mean, it seemed like we were pleading for Rashawn Holmes to get minutes over Tyson, and then that finally happened, and it took a lot of games for that, it felt like, even though, you know, it hasn't, we're still early on in the season, but it felt like it was just way too long. So I feel like we're going to get that again, and he does want some sort of passing presence, and right now Kanan just has more experience, which sucks, but that's how it's going to be for right now. I don't think we should be that surprised that with the move to Point Book, this is what we're seeing. It sucks. I want to see different. I want to see Okobo. I want to see Melton. But this is just what we should expect for right now.
Yep, and it carried right on over to this game against the Bulls, which that was on Wednesday, the 21st. It was a loss, 124-116. And I guess we can start with the bad here. Isaiah Kanan started and had 6 points and six assists in his 26 minutes, 2 for 7 from the field. Ugh, it's just rough. But the good of this, Devin Booker, 23 points, 6 assists, 2 rebounds. DeAndre Ayton, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. I've been really happy with him lately, for sure. And Rashawn Holmes, like you mentioned, great game from Rashawn. 14 points, 6 rebounds, and an assist, along with 2 blocks in 15 minutes. Show me that man's per 36s. Holy guac. And then we had Jamal Crawford with a good game in this one. 16 points, 4 assists, and a rebound in 20 minutes. So Jamal Crawford still has a little bit of gas in the tank, and we saw it in this game for sure.
Yeah, you know, Jamal Crawford, a good game, and he has been good for us, and I think he does a lot when he's out on the court and on the bench. I'm all in for that, but definitely Rashawn Holmes. I've been so happy with seeing him play his effort out there in really all of these games. You know, we didn't really talk about him in the Philly game, but he had some really nice looks in the Philly game as well.
He did.
I've just been so happy with him. I hope we can hold on to him past this year. I hope that he really carves out a spot, because he's been great. You know, yeah, he's not... Is he much more than an energy guy? Maybe not, but, you know, that's what you need from a big off the bench sometimes. And, you know, he does that, just plays with effort, and it's a breath of fresh air.
It is.
Every time he's out on the court.
It is, and I would say, of all the guys, we talk about playing within yourself, especially with Josh Jackson. A lot of times Jackson tries to do too much. But I would say Rashawn Holmes does the best, either him or TJ, do the best of playing within themselves, knowing their strengths, knowing their weaknesses, and just focusing on those strengths and getting their job done. Rashawn Holmes is going to contest every shot in the paint. He's going to go up hard for rebounds. He's going to get second chance points, and he's been doing that. But he's not going to try to pull a 3-point shot or something like that. I mean, is he more of a 3-point threat, or even outside the paint scoring threat, than Tyson Chandler? Maybe like a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, but it's just different because he gives that effort that Tyson wasn't giving. He makes up for that inability with his rebounding, and I think he is the perfect backup center for this team just because of that effort.
Yeah, you know that the 15 or so minutes that he's going to play every night are going to be high effort. Yep. And yeah, is he a threat for a jump shot? No.
Never.
But he's going to run that at the rim if he has any sort of open window, he's going to run at it. And then that is not what you could say for Tyson at all.
No.
So that even that just makes it more of a threat than anything, and I'm so okay with that.
It's also nice because lately Ayton has been a really great target for lobs. He's been finishing a lot of nice lobs, but Holmes can do that too. That's one thing where, you know, you just throw the ball up and he's going to go get it. And a lot of the time be able to just slam it home. So nice to have two guys out there and one out at all times that can finish those.
Yeah, I think it's been a really nice thing that with some of this Ayton aggressiveness is that we've been getting him a lot more looks on in the pick and roll with lobs and stuff like that. Especially Booker has, yeah, I think, been a lot more comfortable with that.
Right.
And with Rashawn in there, we don't have to change that very much. Yeah, Tyson, you know, he would get a lob once or twice a game, maybe, and those would be the points that he would get. But Rashawn is a little bit more, he's a little bit, he's just better at it right now because Tyson's 97 years old and walks with a walker out there.
So. Right, right. But let's quickly look at the Bulls. Zach LaVine has been playing out of his mind this year. 29 points and 6 assists. I actually like watching him quite a bit. It's nice to see him come back from that injury and be playing well. And speaking of injuries, Jabari Parker, 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists, approaching that triple-double. You know, this was a game that was winnable for us, and we just really slowed down in the second half. But when guys like Jabari Parker play like that, it's going to be tough because they don't often play that well. So,
yeah, Jabari hasn't had a very good season so far, and there's a lot of issues with his teammates not really knowing what he's doing because he has such a weird style. And, you know, it's tough for them, but he can kind of turn on and have these great games still, even if he's never been able to live up to the hype of where he was drafted. But, you know, he can still have those games. And when he's on, and, you know, LaVine, as you said, has been so good so far this year and really looks like he is worth the contract that he got. When both those guys can be on and, you know, some of these role players can on the Bulls can start hitting shots and looking solid, you know. They have Wendell Carter Jr., who's looked really good so far right. this year. And just that kind of stuff. It's tough.
Yeah. You know what else is tough? I hate to harp on the refs, but the free throw numbers tell you that this was pretty lopsided. The Suns, in this whole game, shot 10 free throws. The Bulls shot 24. That's almost 2.5 times more free throws. That's just lopsided. The Suns foul a lot, don't get me wrong, but come on. That's very uneven.
Yeah, some of the talk on, if you ever go on Reddit and go on RNBA, there has been some talk about the just free throw discrepancy in some of these Suns games, and people are talking about that, you know, well, duh, they're a young team and they just foul a lot. And yes, we foul a lot, but some of the free throw discrepancies are pretty crazy, especially when you watch, you know, in the Bucks games, towards the end of the game, Bledsoe just grabbing onto Booker and nothing getting called. Or, you know, you're looking at the Philadelphia game and Ayton is getting just as much contact or more that Embiid gets, but Embiid gets the calls and Ayton doesn't get anything. Or Mikal Bridges breathes and gets a foul called on him. It's been really tough to yes. watch. And I think it was in this Bulls, or it wasn't in this Bulls game, or it was in the Pistons game. It was one of these games where we had a ref that had reffed one NBA game before us, and it was in one, I don't remember which of these games it was, but it was one of the games this week. It was not the Sixers game. I know that. It was one of the other games that we had a ref that had coached one NBA game before, and that's just crazy, and it's ridiculous.
It is. But as much as the refs were a challenge in this Bucks game, we got to talk about it more. This game was great. The Suns played hard the whole game. We have not been seeing a whole lot of that this year. But it was a win. So this game was Friday, the 23rd, and we won 116 to 114. Had a pretty substantial lead even in the fourth quarter and blew it, which has kind of been
RMO.
Yeah, the usual. But Jamal Crawford, OG, still got it. I mean, that shot that he hit, the game winner, the whole thing was designed to get the ball to Booker, but they just blanketed him as any team should, because Booker, I mean, even last year when we played the Bucks, Booker hit a turnaround like 40 footer to tie the game and send it into overtime. The Bucks know. So Jamal Crawford dribbles, tries to find Booker, can't, gets in the lane a little bit, pulls up, bang. Oh, it was great. It was great. So 116-114 final. We saw quite a few good things in this one. All of our starters were in the plus. Trevor Ariza was the lowest at plus one, but I'll take it. And then Devin Booker, plus 14. Another great game from Booker. 29 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. Booker's shooting so much, and that's great. 13 for 26, I will take that. 50% on 26 shots, fine. He was 1 for 5 from 3, which is kind of tough. We talked about that lingering hamstring injury, but that seems to be improving. His three-point shooting has gotten a little bit better. And then TJ Warren, another good game for him. 19 points and 5 rebounds. DeAndre Ayton, 17 points, 7 rebounds. Interesting night for him, having to guard Brook Lopez, who shoots 25 threes a game now. It's pretty amazing, actually, because he hits a lot of them. But just a completely different style of center for him to guard. And then I'll just keep going with Jamal Crawford here. 11 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, but those 2 big points coming right at the very end. And then Rashawn Holmes, another good game for him. 12 points, 4 rebounds. Want to quickly mention Josh Jackson with 11 points in 15 minutes. 6 for 7 from the free throw line. That's nice. Josh Jackson getting to the line and hitting most of those shots makes a big difference. And then for the bad, Isaiah Cannon, 16 minutes, 0 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound, 0 for 5 from the field. Thankfully, he only played 16 minutes.
That's still way too much, but, you know, Isaiah Cannon, he's going to be rough. It's not going to be fun watching him play, but talking about some of this other stuff, you talked about Book. During this Bucks broadcast, they brought up a stat that he's averaging right just short of 24 points and a little over 7 assists so far this season. And, you know, he had those back-to-back 12 assist games. He's just been facilitating really well and now been scoring on top of it. I wish that some of our guard shots went to Ayton in the post at times, especially because it feels like in the middle of games we kind of go away from Ayton. Yes, but that's not from Book. Book has been he's been getting it together and putting it together. I know that last year we had some games where we were trying to run him as a main facilitator, and he started at point guard one game, I think it was. It was against the Knicks, and he always had a really hard time trying to do both, be a dual threat. He either looked to pass or he looked to score. It does seem like now he is feeling a little bit more comfortable and is passing when it's there or looking to facilitate when it's there and not trying to force it, but also not trying to just force scoring, and when he's looking to score, looking out for his other teammates there. And yes, it's been so nice to see.
Definitely. He's really been stepping up over the last few games, and I hope it continues. But we got to look at the Bucks here, because Giannis had a monster game. 35 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. I love watching Giannis play. It's just effortless. He can dunk over 3 guys with no issue. He's jacked. He is fast, he can handle the ball, he can pass, he can shoot, he's so athletic. Just a freak of nature, truly the Greek freak. I love watching him. He's so good. It's really nice to watch Giannis have a good game and still win. That's the best of both worlds right there. But just a joy to watch him play basketball. Someone who is not enjoyable to watch play basketball, Eric Bledsoe. Or should I say Drew Bledsoe. 12.7 assists, 3 rebounds. I don't want to be here. Good riddance.
Well, let's just talk. Let's just ignore that and talk more about Giannis. Because he just runs to the rim. And
it's crazy.
He was just blown by... He is unstoppable. I mean, it didn't matter who we were throwing at him. You can't really stop him. You just have to hope that everyone else is just slightly off enough that you can win. I mean, they just blown out Portland. It was a 40-point blowout. They've looked so good this year, and Coach Bud has just been such a huge difference maker with his style that, I mean, Giannis has so much room. You just have to hope that, you know, you have a game where Brook Lopez shoots 0 of 12 to start out from 3, because, you know, Splash Mountain just loses a little bit of that water.
I haven't heard that. Splash Mountain, that's amazing.
Thank you, whoever on RNBA started calling him Splash Mountain, because that's so hilarious.
But seriously, he shot 12 threes. And usually he hits those. I mean, he hits one of those threes and we lose this game, you know? So.
Yeah.
I guess we lucked out catching Brook Lopez on a bad night.
Also, Chris Middleton is going to get a max contract this offseason.
Chris Middleton is good.
He is so good. And, you know, he was really good in the playoffs. And him and Giannis were so good and almost beat the Celtics. And it seemed like Chris Middleton was so clutch. And he is such a clutch player. It's ridiculous.
He is.
And thank goodness that he double clutched on a 3-point shot, otherwise we would have just lost at the end of this game, because as the buzzer went, he drilled a 3, so it was enough to where I was watching the game log on my phone, and was recording the game for later, and it just came up with, it was like, alright, there's 1 second left, or like 0.8 seconds left, and it just came up as a 3, and then it was like, oh, it was Bucks, it didn't say final, but it was just up for review, and I was like, that was probably Chris Middleton. I didn't have to see who it was. It was just like, that dude is ridiculously clutch and just hits shots like no other. He's so good.
Yeah, when I saw it, I just thought we lost. I just thought, you know, this is what always happens. We're up toward the very end and then someone hits a crazy shot like that. But no, still in his hand as the red light shone around the backboard, so... Oh, win number, what is that? Win number 4?
Win number 4.
Win number 4. All right, so we played the Pistons on Sunday the 25th, a 118-107 loss. This game was close for a long time. We played well through three quarters and some, and then just got really tired at the end, it seemed like, and just... Let the fourth quarter get away from us. I've been saying this for a long time now, but we just can't put four quarters together. We can play three really good quarters, and then we just drop the fourth quarter. But these guys are working hard. Devin Booker especially, 37 points in this one. 5 assists, which is his lowest number of assists in the last few games, but I'll still take it. 4 rebounds. 14 for 24 shooting, so again, just keep pulling it. And then DeAndre Ayton had another good game with 25 points and 13 rebounds, along with 2 assists. And he was getting it done on defense, too. He had 3 blocks, so that was nice. Oh, also...
Plus, he only missed, like, one shot.
Yeah, he missed 2. 11 2, for whatever. 13. So, that was nice. Yep. And then... We need to give a shout-out to Jamal Crawford in this one. He had a good game. 12 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds. But he reached a milestone. He is over 19,000 points scored in the league now. So that's pretty cool to see. And then this is a homecoming for Josh Jackson. And he played possibly his best game in a while. He played 23 minutes because TJ Warren got ejected very early on for... saying the wrong thing to the ref, which frustrating. He did not deserve to be ejected for that. But Josh Jackson came in, had 10 points, 4 rebounds and assists on 4 for 8 shooting, 1 for 4 from 3, which is tough, and he only shot 2 free throws. But, you know, that's what we can get from Jackson at this point.
Yeah. And you know, Josh has been, you know, between the Pistons game and the Bucks game, 11 points in the Bucks game, 10 points in the Pistons game. He is, I think, he's starting to find things that he can do to put some points on there, you know, get into the paint, get into the post, not trying to go around and then getting blocked by a big guy because he's out there. I think that Ayton being in the game with him helps that a lot. But, you know, Josh has a lot of work to do. I still have faith that he, you know, he will figure it out. I think that he has way too short of a leash at times, especially considering how much Isaiah Cannon plays. It's ridiculous, but
it is.
When Mikhail plays so good, I understand, but Josh needs to have a slightly longer leash. I mean, he is still learning. He has still a lot, you know, the playmaking can be there, and it has looked good this year, even when everything else hasn't, when he's been given a chance to, when he has been able to play within himself a bit more and score in the paint, he has looked a lot better and more consistent. But, you know, he's just on a ridiculously short leash, and I get it, but at the same time, Isaiah Cannon continues to get 20 minutes a night.
And, yeah, Isaiah Cannon, 19 minutes, 0 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, a turnover, 0 for 2 shooting. Play Melton Orokobo, please. It's time.
Or play Josh at the 2 or 1 or whatever, and Crawford at the 2. Like, if you insist on playing, like, that many minutes of guys, we do not need Isaiah Cannon playing 20 minutes at under 6 foot and just not able to match what we're trying to do.
Yeah, it's tough. But the Pistons played a good game. They can be a decent team. Andre Drummond is great. 19 points, 16 rebounds. It seems like that's what he does on a nightly basis. That's run the mill for him. He also had 5 steals. He's a great player. 1 for 8 free throw shooting. We were fouling him intentionally a little bit, but didn't end up working. Blake Griffin also had a good game with 16 points, 11 assists, which was the season high, I believe, and 3 rebounds. Blake still got it for sure. And then Reggie Jackson with 19 points, 8 assists, 2 rebounds. Interesting note on that guy, the three-point shooting. He went 4 for 15 from 3, and Blake Griffin went 2 for 8 from 3. The game plan all along was let these guys take threes because they have not been hitting them. And it ended up biting us because we had guys like Langston Galloway hit 4 of his 6 threes. Stanley Johnson went 2 for 3. Ish Smith, who always seems to play well against us for whatever reason, because he has a grudge, because he used to play for us, whatever, 2 for 4 from 3. So when those guys are hitting, when Langston Galloway hits 4 threes, it's going to be tough to win.
Yeah, and doubling Blake is a great idea because he's 100% their best player. And as long as Blake's healthy, he is a borderline superstar in the league.
Right.
Because he can do so much, and you know, he is really good. I hate him, but he is really good. But, mm-hmm. You know, these Piston guys aren't going to shoot that well from three most of this year. And they didn't throughout most of the game and then randomly got hot in the fourth once, you know, they just started hitting more of those shots. And it's tough, but, you know, that's what's going to happen. This is the end. Had a road trip on the Eastern Conference, on the Eastern side of the state or the country. Oh my gosh. Eastern road trip. It's tough. I don't blame our guys for being tired. 4 games in the week on the East Coast away from home. We're going to start running out of gas. A lot of teams are. Would it have been nice to get the Bulls game as well as the Bucks game? Yeah, but the fact that we won one game on this trip is nice because that's what we expected or hoped that we could win.
Yep. Our first road win of the season. At least it came in November and not December. Oh, jeez. All right. So the next week, we've got four more games, and this is going to be interesting because we have a tiny little bit of travel thrown in there. But Tuesday the 27th, we play the Pacers at home. The very next day, Wednesday the 28th, we play the Clippers in LA. So just a quick little plane ride over there. Day off, we play the Magic here Friday the 30th. And then we have a day off, and we go back to LA to play the Lakers on Sunday, December 2nd. I can't believe we're already into December, but here we are. So of those games, which one are you most looking forward to?
So that Indiana game can be a little interesting if Victor Oladipo is sidelined, you know, one more game or two more games or whatever it is, then there's a shot there. But that Indiana team, when he's been playing, has looked really well. Really good. I'm excited to see them play.
Yep.
That Clippers team and the Lakers have started to really click too. Those are going to be two really tough games. I'm excited for this Magic game though. I like watching Aaron Gordon. He's had some really good games against us. Vucevic has just continued to add more and more stuff to his game and now looks like a guy that the Magic might not even want to get rid of after the season, even though they just drafted Bamba. Jonathan Isaac has looked really good and has been healthy this season. They have a lot of interesting pieces and they're pretty fun to watch. So I'm excited to watch them.
They have not been horrible this year either. They're 500 right now.
They bought in with Steve Clifford, you know, just a little bit of new life in there. The front office, they've got the new front office in there. They're buying in and they're fun to watch. They had a really good game against the Sixers a week or two ago and they've been good.
Yeah. I'm also looking forward to the Pacers game because my boy and former classmate Domantas Sabonis, go Zags, plays for them and is having a fantastic season. I always like watching former Zags come into Phoenix, so that will be good. I'm excited for that one.
Him and randomly Montrezl Harrell have both been
really
amazing.
Good.
They're top 10, I think, in either real box plus minus or PER, one of those. But like just efficiency stats, both of them have been really great, and we get to play both of them this week.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Well, I think of all those games, our best opportunity to win is that Magic game. So it's at home. Could be tough, but that's our best opportunity to win. I feel like that's what we've been doing each week, is picking the one game we think we could win. So we were wrong last week.
I'm gonna say if Oladipo is out, I think that Pacers game. But I'm just excited to watch the Pacers game probably the most out of any of them. Yeah. That team's fun.
And Darren Collison has not been terrible this year.
No, but without Victor Oladipo, that team isn't the same.
It's a huge loss.
He is just great since going over to them, and he's so much fun to watch for that team.
Yep. So that wraps up the recaps and previews, but now we get to the non-sports section of the show, and Thanksgiving has come and gone, yet another Thanksgiving. Hope you all had good experiences. I know I did. But I think we need to talk about Thanksgiving food. But I don't just want to do the usual, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food or dessert or whatever. We're talking underrated right here. What is the most underrated Thanksgiving food? We haven't had a ton of time to think about this, but if you have something off the top of your head, David, let's hear it.
Well, underrated is tough because, you know, underrated is just tough. We do some different things in my family. We don't do all the usual stuff. I'm going to say unpopular Thanksgiving opinion. Sweet potato pie or sweet potato whatever nonsense. It's garbage. Why do sweet potatoes always have to be so sweet? I like them a little more savory.
Of course.
So, you know, some mashed sweet potatoes. I don't need all these maple everything with marshmallows and stuff. I don't need that nonsense.
Oh, I like
it's that. Too sweet. It's too much. I want some just mashed sweet potatoes. If you do some, like, a little bit of sweet, maybe just the slightest bit of brown sugar or some, like, burnt butter.
Brown sugar.
To mix in with them. That's at the most. That's at the absolute most.
My family, you're going to hate this. My family puts pineapple with our sweet potatoes.
That is so
pineapple,
weird.
Sweet potatoes, brown sugar, and marshmallows on top. Ooh, it's
good. Just don't understand the marshmallow thing. I never will. I did not like sweet potatoes for the longest time because I thought they had to have the marshmallow thing. And then I had just mashed sweet potatoes and I realized they're amazing. But
they are. I love
sweet marshmallow potatoes. Thing, garbage. But that's not what we're talking about. This isn't Thanksgiving unpopular opinions. We should have just
this
done
is not,
that, but
we could.
Who cares? But, you know, I'm a really big fan of cranberry sauce. My mom makes homemade cranberry sauce every year for Thanksgiving and Christmas. That stuff is so nice. Good.
Yeah.
And when it's just done right, that is something that's a little bit more sweet, whether it's on turkey or just a dinner roll. Cranberry sauce is amazing. And that canned stuff is garbage, but when it's homemade and, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is, but I'm going to pick on something that you said just briefly, the dinner roll. I think the dinner roll could be a very underrated part of Thanksgiving. A dinner roll can make or break a meal, I believe. A good dinner roll can really amplify the Thanksgiving meal. And I'm blessed with a family that really knows how to make bread. And these dinner rolls that we had, oh my gosh. And you know what? If they're good enough, you eat your turkey sandwich with the leftovers on one of those dinner rolls. Ooh. Now you're talking.
I do think that people, I don't know if this has always been a thing, but I feel it's more prevalent now where people just roll with the sweet Hawaiian rolls as their dinner rolls.
Those are great.
Those are great.
Those are great.
But sometimes just a plain dinner roll or, you know, whether it be white, wheat, just not as much of the, you know, more processed King Hawaiian roll. Just like a plain just dinner roll with some butter and some cranberry sauce, some gravy, whatever, I think is, I think that doesn't get enough love sometimes around Thanksgiving.
It doesn't. I will mention too, you said that your family does some weird things. My family always has pasta for Thanksgiving because my mom's side is Italian. We always do. I never really thought it was like something everyone did, but it's, I always look forward to it because my family makes really good pasta, so that's always nice. And then pie. This is not underrated. I think everyone is pretty on board with pie at Thanksgiving. But I need to give a shout out to my mom's cherry cheesecake, essentially. It's not really cheesecake, but it's more of a cheesecake than a pie. It is so good. Graham cracker crust.
So, oh my gosh. Yeah, I gotta throw in a cheesecake too. So, I helped my mom do pies this year, but she always does a pie and it's a pumpkin cheesecake. So it's all cheesecake. It's got the graham cracker crust, just as you're just talking about, but then you do the pumpkin in as you're doing the cheesecake mix.
That's
and
good.
It almost ruins pumpkin pie, which yeah. I love pumpkin pie. I will just buy a pumpkin pie from a store and eat out of the middle of it with a fork.
Oh.
I just love pumpkin pie. It's one of my favorite things.
It's good.
But
it's good.
This pumpkin cheesecake just almost kills pumpkin pie for me every year because it's so good.
Cheesecake is really good. I could do a whole non-sports section on cheesecake. I love cheesecake.
Yep. Cheesecake's so good. But, you know, you just... I always forget that you've mentioned the pasta thing before about Thanksgiving. And
yeah.
That throws me for a loop every single time.
I know it's kind of weird, but we always do it. And it is a little bit it's a little bit weird when you get gravy on your pasta. Because it happens inevitably. And it's not very good. But
well,
We're just along for the ride.
A gravy and plain pasta makes sense, but do you guys probably have a red sauce or...
Oh, marinara. Yep. Oh, this sauce too. Don't even get me started. It's so good. I wish I could make sauce like that.
So, for a casserole, because the casserole is always a thing that I feel every family has some sort of casserole that they do. I think green bean is probably the usual. But growing up, me and my brother didn't really like green beans, so my mom never made that. So instead, we did a broccoli casserole. It was it's a broccoli cheese casserole. And it is one of the greatest things ever, and I look forward to it.
That sounds good.
We do it for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, and that's the casserole that we always roll with. I know it's not green beans. I think green beans is the one that normally people go with, but
yeah, we don't do that. But I've had it before.
Yeah, I think that's the usual one. But this broccoli cheese casserole is probably my favorite thing during Thanksgiving meal.
Nice. Well, before we wrap it up, anything you're thankful for, podcast-wise, I suppose?
I'm thankful...
Suns-wise?
Am I thankful for anything for the Suns? I'm thankful for DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges. That, you know, they're not looking like Josh Jackson did to start the season last year, so we don't have to hear about it. Or how Bender or Chris started their careers. So I'm very thankful for that. Yeah, podcast wise, I'm thankful that we're coming up on your finishing up year three or however it is.
Three.
I mean,
year three.
It's we're getting it's kind of crazy. It's pretty insane that we've been doing it for this long. But
yeah,
you know, even when we suck, and I really don't know what we're going to do with the podcast if we start winning games and looking competent because
I know
it's been so long of us just sucking and going on just random nonsense episodes and talking about how bad we are and ranting about it that I almost don't know what we're gonna do if we're we won and we looked good. Well, that was 15 minutes. What do we do now?
I know I'm gonna get a big head.
Oh, yeah.
When that happens. So, but no, I mean, I do want to throw out I'm thankful for Devin Booker.
Always.
Very much so.
That's without saying, though. So.
Yeah, that's a given. DeAndre Ayton as well. I'm going to throw in Rashawn Holmes. He's been fun to watch. But then, podcast-wise, definitely thankful for you and Chuck. It's amazing that we've been doing this for as long as we have. And for all of our listeners. I'm very thankful for each and every one of you. It amazes me that we have people that listen to us talk about this team. It's unbelievable. So thank you for listening. And on that note, we will talk to you next week. And go Suns!